The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
From Independence, Ohio.
You changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bringing to light the enemies of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left on this 12th day of November 2021. And tonight, as always, we have my esteemed colleagues and honorable co-host, John McTernan and John Holman. Are you there, fellas?
Yes, Pastor Ernie, I'm here, but there's a problem with the show. I think I'm going to have to call back in. It's breaking up real bad.
Already, huh? Okay, are you there, Holman?
I am, Pastor Ernie. Good evening to all the listeners and the Lord's blessings upon all.
All right, John, when you call back in, we'll go to pray again because we got a powerful program tonight. And you know what happens? The opposition's always out to try to take us down. So go ahead and call back in when you get back in. I mean, I can hear you fine. Can you hear me fine? Okay, he must be calling in already. Let me know as soon as he calls in. Are you there?
Yeah, I'm back. I'm back, Pastor Ernie.
Okay, can you hear me well?
Well, I could hear you, and then it would break, and it would break for like 5-10 seconds and come back and break and come back. Sounds
all right.
Okay now.
Okay. Why don't you lead us in a prayer against the prince of the power of the airwaves tonight and ask, before you do that, folks out there, all of you out there listening to us tonight, we all would like to get through this program. So whatever, wherever you're at, listen, believe me, if you just trust me on this one, God says there's power in prayer. God says it, okay? So if God says it, you can believe it. You can trust it. And the more of you to join in with us, the more to join in, the more power we'll have, because every time we go on the air, the enemy does not want us to bring our message across. And so, John, would you lead the people in that prayer?
Yes. Father, we're before you in the name of Jesus. And, Lord, we're asking for a good show tonight. We're asking for all truth to come forward, Lord. We ask that the people would be edified. And we're asking, Lord, that you would overrule any attempt at interference and that the show would be clear and everybody could hear. And we minister now under the blood of the everlasting covenant that you made with us on the cross. In Jesus' name I ask. Amen.
All right. Thanks, John. Okay, so we're going to be tonight in James chapter 1, James chapter 1, and we're going to be reading from verses 1 through 8. That's verses 1 through 8 in James chapter 1. And so, have you fellows found it yet?
Yep, I'm right there.
Okay, why don't you start out, and you start in, with verse 1 and have the other John pick it up in verse 2.
James chapter 8?
No, 1. James chapter 1.
All right, there's no 8.
No.
James 1. Okay.
Verses 1 through 8.
Yep.
James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting.
My brethren, Count it all joy when ye fall into divers temptations.
Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience.
But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing.
And if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him.
But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed.
For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord.
A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways.
All right, let's go back to verse 1. James, the servant of God and of the Lord Jesus. Now here, this was not James the Apostle, but it was a James that had a lot of authority in the church in Jerusalem. That was the brother. This was the brother of our Lord. And this epistle was one of the earliest ones that were written. It was written around A.D. 50. And so here, when we take a look at this, it says, my brother, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. Now, temptations is used here in three different ways. And this, it's three different words in the Greek for these temptations, three different meanings here. This one here, when it says, brother, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. What do you think he means that temptations is?
I would take it, Pastor Ernie, of like testings.
That's exactly what it is. It means testing, okay? But now if we jump ahead a little bit and we go over to here, when it says, blessed is the man that endureth temptations, for he is tried. And I'm talking about verse 12. But then it goes on to say, he says, let no man say he is tempted of God. So that means enticed. So the one means testing, and the one word temptation means testing. The other word temptation means enticed. And so does God ever tempt anybody?
No.
No. So no. God would never tempt us to sin, would he?
No.
Well, no. Man is drawn away of his own lust, Pastor.
Yeah, absolutely. That's exactly what it says, in fact. So he says, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience, but let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Here, when we take a look at that, are we supposed to act like we're happy when these things happen to us? I mean, we're Christians, and so we have to be happy and joyful, or is he telling us that we have to pretend to be happy, or is he's just saying, but let patience have a perfect work, that you may be perfect and wanting nothing. And knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. So we know that. We know the trying of the faith worketh patience. But it's not telling us to pretend to be something we're not, is it?
Well, it says we're to count it joy. So as you grow, this is just my perception of this, as you grow in your faith and your tried and your patience, can take decades for prayers to be answered. And that's how you become more sanctified and made right, and your faith is made perfect. So you develop a history with the Lord, and you see the outcome of it is that you have to wait many times. And I, in particular, I've looked for answers in scriptures that didn't come for decades. So, you know, that's trying your faith and your patience develop out of that.
So how do we know where our faith and patience is at? How do we judge it? I mean, unless can we judge our character unless we fall into those temptations, unless we're tested, is our character judged?
Well, the testing, really, Pastor Ernie, like that is for us to see where we're at. God perfectly knows where we are, but when things come into our life, we can kind of get a judge now of how we react to it.
Okay, so...
Am I making myself clear? And I also wanted to add, that word perfect in verse 4, it's complete. That's what the perfect means. It's complete.
Yeah, okay, so it's completed. Another word for that is mature. It's called mature or full.
Yeah,
another word they use that in the Greek. But that word is full. So here now, I don't want you guys to be offended by this next verse. If any of you lack wisdom... Only kidding, fellas. Only kidding. I had to put something in there. It wouldn't be right if I didn't get you with something, right? But if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally. Now, wait a minute here. And uprighteth not, and it shall be given him. So does God grant every thoughtless or selfish request that we have to ask? What does it mean to ask in faith? He says here, it should be given, but let him ask in faith and nothing wavering. Okay, so what does that mean when it says, and it shall be given to him? Is God going to give us this wisdom and things that are thoughtful or are thoughtless or selfish requests or desires?
No.
Okay, so, you know, these are some of these verses here that people that are not biblically literate don't understand. So they take and try to take some of these verses and say, okay, here, I asked for wisdom, I didn't get it. You know, or that somewhere in there you have to understand what God is telling you. It's got to be within God's will, right? God is not going to grant you things that are not within his will, is he?
Yeah, well later on it says that if you ask what makes wars between you, right?
Yeah.
Because you ask not right. So you have to ask for things that God says you should ask for to get wisdom that God wants you to have.
All righty. So then he goes on, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. Okay, so here, let me ask you this. If a person wavers, is that person completely convinced that God's way is the best way? Does he treat God's word like the absolute authority, or does he treat it like advice from any human?
Well, Galatians addresses that too, I believe, Pastor Ernie. It says they get blown about by every wave of doctrine and are not stable in their doctrine.
Okay. So he says he's blown around. For he that wavers is like a wave of the sea, driven with wind and tossed. So... for let not the man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord, for a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. Okay, what do you think that means, a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways?
Well, a double-minded man, Pastor Ernie, is one minute you care to have faith, and the next minute is doubt. That's what, and a single-minded is your like you're moving in faith and you're not being brought off it. You're not being knocked to and fro. So that's what double-minded means. One minute you're thinking one thing and the next minute you're thinking just the opposite.
Okay, so we've seen people that I know some double-minded people. They're very, very unsettled. in their faith. In other words, it's like you wonder, what's missing? Why can't they see the light here? Can't they understand? What is it they don't understand? In other words, it's like, well, okay, you know, I kind of believe what the Bible says there, but you know, I think also, you know, the way I feel about this or that, that can be right too. It can be right too. So, if you feel, if you have your beliefs, if you will, about certain things that are different, they're in opposition to the Word of God, can you possibly have the right thoughts too? Be right too?
No. Because the Bible says that God's Word is truth, and the Bible says you have to receive the love of the truth. And so when you put those two together, and if you don't have those, no, then you can't.
Okay, I'm going to be preaching on this message, Lord's willing, unless the Lord changes it. And tell me who said this. I will get my vengeance on the one that rules from above. I will get my vengeance on the one that rules from above. Who made that famous statement? It was Karl Marx. Karl Marx. And okay, so are you fellas familiar with, well, this so-called religion out there? And I just had one of those little mind spots there. But it is the socialist gospel, if you will. The socialist gospel. Pardon?
Yeah, that's having like a form of Christianity, but denying the power thereof. It's secular, you know. It fits into the thought of the times rather than the absolutes, the Bible.
Absolutely, it's trying to take the teachings of Marx, and mingling the teachings of Karl Marx with the teachings of Christ. And this is what they have done. This is what is so prevalent today in the apostate church, the world and the National Council of Churches. And if you understand some of where this comes from, this is what I'm going to be teaching on, because the reason it is so prevalent with these college kids, this is where woke come from. This is the woke movement, people that have come up, and where compromise, they can try to justify compromise and yet try to convince themselves that they're not going to have to face the consequences and stand before God. And so we're going to take a look at what is on the mindset of these college kids and these woke, this whole woke generation, and take a look at what's really behind all of this. So people, see, if you understand the enemy that you're up against, boy, does it make it a lot easier to fight against that enemy?
Absolutely. That's half the battle, Pastor Ernie. That's half the battle.
So
if you want to
you got to know you're at war. I mean, for example, not only Biden, but whoever is actually the president, and the Democrats, we have to realize today that they are at war with us. They literally hate us, literally. They hate us with a loathing like the Nazis did the Jews, and it took the Nazis a while to fix society so they could pull off the final solution. But they hate everything about America, Pastor Ernie, and they hate our history. They hate the Christianity and you know, our foundation. They hate capitalism. They hate the freedoms we have. And unless we realize that, we're not able to kind of figure out, well, why is Biden making these executive orders? Why is he doing this? Why isn't he Why is he allowing the border to be open? Why is he destabilizing the currency? You know, why is he weakening us, giving away in Afghanistan and humiliating us in front of the world? And if you realize they are on an agenda to destroy America because they hate us and they want to redo it in the image of Karl Marx and communism, Pastor. So if we don't realize they are at war at us, it's like a fifth column operating inside of America, we can't beat them. We have to realize we're in a war and stand like we are at war.
Well, yeah, that was an interesting thing what you just said, because yesterday they started out and on the fake news media, the fake news media out there, PMSNBC and NBC and that, and even Fox News said, as Biden, you know, it made me sick to see him there at the grave of the unknown soldier, knowing how he really feels about our servicemen, and to hear the things he was saying. But because you know how they really feel. And so here he said, and they said, well, this is the first time in over 20 years that we've celebrated Veterans Day while we were not at war. This is the first time in over 20 years when we were not at war, okay? And so they made this point. But in fact, we, the people of the United States of America, are at war with the federal government in this country. We are at war with the federal government. It has become totally rogue and antichrist. It has become totally antichrist. Do you think that this reality is setting in on the minds of a lot of people? You know, I'm often amazed at some people. They know things are not good, okay, and it's all around them, but they're not paying attention, okay, to what is really happening. And so what do you think? Do you think?
Well, Pastor Ernie, what's happening is, yes, there is, I guess maybe in knowing what's going on, Americans are stronger now than they were a year ago and like that. But we cannot in any way think that this is just political, that it's Democrats versus Republicans. Well, now, there are establishment Republicans, but this is Democrats wanting to destroy the very structure of America. That's what we have to grasp in huge numbers. An interesting, Pastor Ernie, with Biden, the federal courts just put a stay on his empirical decree about businesses over 100 employees. All the employees must be vaccinated with the death shot. So Biden came out and actually said he told all the businesses to ignore the federal ruling. That's pure anarchy now, pure anarchy. And he is working, whoever the puppeteer is with him, is using him to completely destabilize America. He literally came out and said that he told the businesses to ignore what the court said. So they're working him to be a dictator, Pastor Ernie.
Well, since he is promoting and trying to enforce all of Obama's policies, all of the things that Obama could not get through, it's pretty obvious who the puppet master is. When Obama himself had come out and said that his wish would be, when they asked him if he would like to run for another term, he said he'd rather sit in his basement and pull the strings, you know, of the puppet out there, and that's exactly what's happening.
Well, Pastor Ernie, I'm going to challenge you. Could someone be pulling Obama's strings?
His name's George Soros.
Yes, Pastor Ernie.
And do you know who said that? Do you remember when Andrew Young, the former ambassador, and Jesse Jackson, when they were at the Democratic Communist Convention here, when Obama was running the second time, or let's see, when was it? No, when he was, I'm trying to remember exactly when it was, but Jesse Jackson was one of the commentators with Andrew Young, and the mics were hot, and Jackson didn't know it. And when Jackson was talking to Young, and he said to him about having, when he invited Obama to come and speak to the Rainbow Coalition, and Obama said to him, I'm sorry, but I don't have time. Oh, that's right. That's when Obama was president. So it would have been when Hillary. I'm trying to think of. It might have been when Hillary was running her campaign. So anyhow, against Trump. But anyhow, so he told Young, he said, I invited Obama to come to speak to the Rainbow. And he said he didn't have time. And I said to him, you don't have time for me, Jesse Jackson? And he said to me, I don't need you. Okay, I've got George Soros. And so that's when Jackson made that famous statement that he would like to castrate Obama. But he didn't use those words. He used some stronger language on a hot mic. But basically what Obama was saying there was his the power behind him. Now, this would be, as far as all of the people are out there right now today, when directly from the Bible, from the things that we find in the Word of God, to me, Obama would be the best candidate. And I'm not saying he is the Antichrist, but I'm saying he would have the qualifications that I can see, because it goes right along, if you go with Daniel chapter 11, the Antichrist is a Sodomite. And also, if you go with the fact that the Antichrist comes up out of the sea, which is a Gentile, and the false prophet is a Jew, and the false prophet empowers the Antichrist, and Obama has admitted that he gets his power and support from George Soros. So what do you guys think?
Well, Pastor Ernie, I think as far as the New World Order goes, that Soros is low on the totem pole, that he's just a spokesman for them. But in their circles, it goes way beyond George Soros. So, they formulate these policies, and right now they're hot on destroying the United States, and Soros works directly with Obama, probably. I mean, Obama's the one, but Soros is there. And so the New World Order are the masters of this, and Soros is their spokesman to Obama.
Right. Okay. I know that. Okay. Let me tell you what we're going to do. I'm going to play this piece here. When we come back, did you fellows know that right now what they want to do is they want to have parents... Right now, and we're warning you, because this is the next thing that the Democratic Communist Party is coming up with. They want parents to be licensed. They want parents to be licensed by the state to raise their own children, to be parents. This is, they want to use the same qualifications that you get when you adopt a child or a foster child, and have the state grant you the right to be parents. You talk about more infringements. And, of course, for the Democrats out there, they would think to them, and since government is God, they wouldn't know any better. But anyhow, this little girl, she's 8 years old, and she is standing up against this Antichrist system. She, let me see here, I actually have an article on her, if I can find it. But go ahead and play the clip, and I'll read some of the article.
My name is Fiona Lachaus, and I am in second grade at Discovery Key Elementary. I am back to talk to you again today. And for anyone who thinks I didn't write my speech last time is wrong. I wanted to be here then, just like I do now. Sorry if I am supposed to be scared when I see people yelling at these meetings. So I am back today, and tomorrow is my birthday. I am going to get suspended if I don't wear a mask for 3 more days. Just because I get suspended for not wearing a mask isn't going to change my mind. You can keep suspending me. I still have the right not to wear a mask. It is not fair that I'm getting punished because you guys, the school board, are not following the law. That is not fair. It just isn't right. I'm still going to stand up for what I believe in, and nothing's going to change my mind. I've been getting suspended a lot because I'm wearing a mask. Do you know how dirty masks are? Because you touch the mask, you put it on your face, you breathe all those germs in because you have lots of bacteria on your hand. Oh, and okay, yeah, I hope you all go to jail for doing this to me. And my family is proud of me, and my Uncle Murphy, that is in heaven, is really proud of me. And I want to say Burke sucks, but instead of, your rules suck.
All right. I don't think she probably doesn't understand what that word sucks means, but anyhow, Fiona Lachelles, who just turned 8 years old, told that Palm Beach County School Board. And by the way, folks, I almost kind of feel that little girl is smarter than most of those people. At least got more honest than any of those on that school board, on the Palm Beach County School Board. And in no uncertain terms, she told them how she felt about their rules. She is on a mission to take back not only her rights, but every American child's constitution right from the tyrant school board. And that's exactly what it is. Her mother, Bailey Lachelles, told the Free Press, Fiona hasn't taken the suspension lying down either. She's not. She has now spoke at her school board meetings twice, directly confronting those who are ruining her education. And so here's some more good news on that front, you guys. The Loudoun County parents show up at school board meeting with more than enough signatures to remove the board chair. And this has been happening around the country now. People are starting to wake up. John and John, for 49 years, I beg people, you know, if you love your kids, get them out of the public schools. And, you know, to me, this is so good to see this because, John, you know, McTernan, how long we've been asking people to get their kids out of the public schools. And now the Loudoun County parents came prepared on Tuesday night, and a school board meeting with more than enough signatures needed for the removal of the board chair. That's right. So there you go.
Well, all right. Yeah, Pastor Ernie, they're not giving up power easily. They are vicious against the parents. And that what you said about the parents being licensed, that's exactly what these communist school board members, that's how they're dealing with the parents. Like, we're going to teach your kids what we want. We're going to teach your kids homosexuality and all sexual perversion at 8 years old, or, you know, all those younger grades. And you keep your mouth shut. We're going to teach them what we want. So this is, if this battle's lost, Pastor Ernie, it's the kids. Well, you know what? Really, they shouldn't be in the public schools anyways, because this is just a fruit of how evil it is, what's being taught in these libraries and in the classroom. But
so corrupt, isn't it?
How we get it back? How you ever get this back?
Well, you know what? The Lord says he'll bring the victory with him. We are to get out and fight with every fight, you know, and resist unto blood. In other words, to death. So we are to fight it with every ounce of energy we have that we can muster. And so we can take it back. America can take it back, okay? You know, you cannot defeat those who refuse to be defeated. And we can only refuse to be defeated through our faith in God, because we know that God, okay, cannot lose, can he?
I don't know. He wins, Pastor Ernie, all the time.
He said he'll bring the victory with him. A senior contributor at the Federalist, Stella Marabito, has published a warning to parents that if leftists are not stopped, and if they're not stopped right away in their agenda, and moms and dads will soon need a license to raise their own children. I know they've been wanting to do this for a while. We talked about this about 10 years ago. They were talking about, they tried to start something like this. Licensing of parents might still sound fringy, but it's an old, old social engineering dream that dies hard. And they are busily building the road to get there. Unless there is aggressive, so sustained pushback, you can count on the idea invading the mainstream, she explained. Well, right now, if there's ever been, right now they're doubling down. The Obama regime is moving fast forward. Now listen, I'm going to tell you about something here, but you tell me what you gleaned from this. Now think about this for a minute. Think about it, okay? The government has just spent $113 million of taxpayer on oral tropics. Now, this is the government's, it's a vaccine, if you will, against smallpox. So if they've just spent that much, $113 million, to get this and this vaccine against smallpox, what does that tell you they're up to, John McTernan?
Well, Pastor Ernie, in addition to what you just said, Bill Gates, and I posted this on my blog, just last week came out and said that the nations of the world have to really unite about a bacteria outbreak with a disease like smallpox, Pastor Ernie, and that we have to have it coordinated with all the medical institutions in each country working together, the airports working together, you know, to stop airplane traffic. The hospitals all working together, and he just came out, and he used the word smallpox. Now, from what I understand, Pastor Ernie, the vast amount of Americans have not been vaccinated for smallpox, and I was when I was younger, but it doesn't, it's lost its effect. So virtually our, not only us, but other countries, we're wide open to a smallpox epidemic.
I'm trying to think of how smallpox was spread.
I know there's a pus that runs from it, Pastor Ernie.
Okay, I know that. That's from the vaccine that you get. They normally would get you that, and it kind of would like a, you'd have a little thing that would swell up on your arm, if I remember right.
Yeah, but like when people had smallpox, I believe they had to burn all the clothes and the bedding and all of that, and it's.
I think that's anthrax, wasn't it, or was it both?
No. Smallpox, and it leaves big. The people would have big, ugly, like skin and faces from if they lived through it. And what happened was they found a vaccine for it. Was there's something called cowpox that's very similar to smallpox, and the people used to milk cows by hand, and these cows would get sores on them, and they were, it was called cowpox, but the people that milked the cows never got smallpox, and they put two and two together, and that's how they would, the vaccine came out. They would take like the, I'm going to say the word pus from the cowpox, and they'd have put a cut on a person's hand or arm, and then rub that pus in there, and you get sick, but it'll be a mild sickness, and then you were immune to smallpox.
Well, let me tell you about this real quick, and then I want to jump back to where we're at. Scottsdale School Board was caught. The Scottsdale School Board was caught building dossiers on the parents there. In other words, those parents that. In other words, to give this information to the Justice or the DOJ, Department of Justice, The Department of Justice is nothing but a branch of the Democratic Communist Front. It's no longer an independent organization. It is not, okay? And the guy that runs up there, he's just a puppet for the communists. But anyhow, here they got caught building dossiers on all the parents so that they could have them, you know, bring in the Gestapo to come against them. Anyhow, here's, I guess, some, yeah.
Well, I mean, this is so outrageous. I hope everybody's listening sees the danger, you know, the red flag in this, how dangerous this is. How dare parents be upset about these communist school boards, what they're exposing their children to, that we've got the federal government now involved in identifying who's leading this. Parents going to a public meeting, objecting to the agenda, and now you're an enemy of the state, Pastor Ernie. This is right out of the Soviet Union.
Folks, yeah, it is.
This is right before our eyes. This isn't like, well, this might happen 5 years from now or 10 years from now. They're trying to wrap this up where if you even look wrong at their agenda, you're going to be guilty of a crime and go to the gulags.
Okay, John, do you know about the doctrine of the lesser magistrate?
Yes.
I preached my first message on that probably almost a half a century ago, John. And so how would that apply, the doctrine of the lesser magistrate? What advice would you be giving right now these FBI agents, these federal marshals, these FBI agents, when it comes to the doctrine of the lesser magistrate, when they're sent out to go spy on American people, what advice would you have for them, right from God's word, the Bible, to put the fear of God into them that they would understand what they're doing?
Pastor Ernie, that's a really good question. My opinion is that I discussed this with you, a while back about this. There's a certain element of mentality that they want in the FBI now, and they want the New World Order types and the patriots. America First people are the enemy. So they literally look at us as the enemy, and that's who they're hiring as FBI agents. Some old-timers might be okay, but the new ones are gone, Pastor Ernie. And with the lesser magistrates, if I understand this correctly, isn't that where it's not really the church as a political entity that rises up, but it's when the government, it's leadership within the government that would rise up to come against tyranny, and the church could then follow, believers could then follow the lesser magistrate. So maybe it would be like the governor of Florida against the federal government.
Okay, in the military, we were taught in the military that if we were given orders, okay, you know, by our superiors to do something that was totally, to say, arrest someone who was doing the right thing. We were told no. We were to instead arrest the one who gave us the orders to violate, okay, the Army manual. And so we knew different, right? In other words, if we look in the Bible, if we go to Shifra and Pua, they worked for the government, okay, and they worked for the government, but they obeyed God and not the government, okay? And God blessed them, didn't he?
Yes. They had to do the most.
Okay. Daniel actually was a sheriff. He was actually a sheriff, okay? He was one of the three sheriffs under Nebuchadnezzar and then under the next king too. And here he obeyed God and not the decree of the government, didn't he?
Yeah, absolutely. In the fiery furnace and in the lion's den.
Okay. So, also, Abraham Lincoln spoke on that in our military. So, if you could tie up some of these generals at the Pentagram and make them listen to you, okay, if you were to be able to get Silly Millie and say, listen, you pay close attention, you better understand something, okay? One of these days, you're going to die. And when that happens, it's appointed to all men once and then the judgment. You can believe anything you want, Silly Millie. You can believe anything you want. But what is going to happen is exactly what God's word, the Bible, said is going to happen. Since time began, that's exactly what has happened, okay? And so now people out there that are up there, the pastors and people, I know they've been going after talk show hosts and that, who are out in the front. Does God's Bible give a special warning about touch not my anointed?
Oh, yeah, Pastor. Absolutely.
So does it tell them that bad things are going to happen to them if they do?
Go ahead, John.
Yeah, there's consequences for attacking God's anointed, God's servants, and I've personally seen that happen multiple times over the years, and something that, you know, may be playing out here in Pennsylvania right now, attacking God's servant Mastriano, Senator Mastriano, and Tony Giuseppe.
Give a plug for Lamplighter while you're made me think of that right now. Can you do that?
I want to tell the people that Lamplighters is a movement politically, but it's being led by Christians here, and unfortunately the pastors are not participating to my knowledge, but we have all Christians. So let me get the information here real quick about Lamps of Liberty, which is growing rapidly, and we are kind of got a backlog of memberships. Let me get that here. My goodness. My computer's
failing. I'll tell you what, while you're doing that,
I'll give that in a minute. But anyway, I want to say about Corman, who is the leader of the destruction of the presidential audit in Pennsylvania, came against God's servants here, Senator Mastriano, and his former chief of staff, Tony Giuseppe, and yesterday he went to announce, I guess formally announce his candidacy for the Pennsylvania governor, and he didn't show up. It's rumored that he has COVID. So we don't want anything bad to happen.
What was that all about? Are you guys still there?
I don't know. I'm here, Pastor Ernie.
All righty.
Yeah,
go ahead.
That was.
Go ahead and finish what you were saying, because I got a little bit of a clip to play for you guys. And now this clip that I'm going to play, the guy that is on this clip, okay, is a member of the FDA Facts Panel. He's on the FDA Facts Panel. And here's what he says. It's going to be hard to hear because I don't have really good audio, but he says, we are killing more people than we are saving with the shots. Okay, this is what he says right on his. So, you ready for this? I'm hoping you can hear it. Ready?
My remarks today on the elephant in the room that nobody likes to talk about, that the vaccines kill more people than they save. Today, we focus almost exclusively on COVID death saves and vaccine efficacy because we were led to believe that vaccines are perfectly safe. But this is simply not true. For example, there were four times as many heart attacks in the treatment group in the Pfizer six-month trial report. That wasn't bad luck. Theirs shows heart attacks happen 71 times more often following these vaccines compared to any other vaccine. In all, 20 people died who got the drug, 14 died who got the placebo. Few people noticed net all-cause mortality from the vaccines is negative. Vaccines, boosters, and mandates are all nonsensical. This is the case today. Only the VAERS numbers are statistically significant, but the other numbers are troubling. Even if the vaccines had 100% protection, it still means we kill two people to save one life. Four experts did analyses using completely different non-U.S. data sources, and all of them came up with approximately the same number of excess vaccine-related deaths, about 411 deaths per million doses. That translates into 150,000 people have died. Now, the real numbers confirm that we kill more than we save. In the most optimistic scenario, it means that 50% of the vaccinated people died and 0% of unvaccinated people died. Unless you can explain that to the American public.
All right, there you go. Now, you're not going to hear that on NBC, ABC, or CBS, are you?
No.
All censored, Pastor. All censored.
Let me give out this information here real quick. Lampsofliberty.com. And then if you don't have access to internet, you can write Lamps of Liberty, Post Office Box 1041, Hopwood, Hopwood, Pennsylvania, 17445. Email is lampsofliberty@protonmail.com. And we have a telephone number, 814-408-4576.
Okay, give that number again.
814-408-4576, and the movement is growing, and we're slowly processing people that want to join the Lamps of Liberty. So go ahead and
we'll continue to promote them, John. You can tell them that, you know, we can, you know, have them back on. Anyhow, tomorrow, November 13th, folks, from 10 a.m., and I'm talking about Northeast Ohio, from 10 a.m. to noon, from 10 a.m. to noon, there's going to be an anti-vax, anti-mask mandate protest. There's an anti-vax, anti-mask mandate protest at the Progressive Insurance Headquarters, their headquarters here, at 6300 Wilson Mills Road in Mayfield Village. That's 6300 Wilson Mills Road in Mayfield Village again. That's here, and that's in Cuyahoga County. This is their national headquarters. There's going to be a protest out there. People are fed up. I'm talking to a number of people that work for that company. There's a lot of them. They're big employees around here. And there's a whole lot of people. Some of them already quit. I told them that you shouldn't quit. Let them fire you. But they will not take the vax, and that means that they're going to be laid off. People have to fight the resistance. They have to fight the this tyranny. They have to stand up. So they're going to be out there tomorrow letting them know that they're not going to give in. They're not going to take it. 6,300, and the people that have Progressive Insurance should really cancel their policies if they continue with this. They should cancel their policies. So...
Pastor Ernie, we've had two...
Hang tight. We're up against the break. We'll be right back right after this with more.
Fight the fight. Light the light. We are there. Let's come against the night.
Thank you for listening to What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance. To support this ministry, head to wrwl.org. That's WRWL.org. Mail your donations to What's Right, What's Left Ministries. 14781 Sperry Road, Newberry, Ohio, 44065. If you missed part of tonight's program, you can check out the podcast at thewordcleveland.com. Thewordcleveland.com. Once again, thank you for listening and supporting What's Right, What's Left Ministries, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. The second hour is coming up next.